5,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast welcome you to an hour of mirth and melody. With our star comedian, Fred Allen, Kenny Baker and Portland Hopper, our guests, Amos and Andy, and Mansell Talkett, the mayor of Waukegan, Win Murray and Al Goodman's orchestra. It's Texaco time. Gentlemen, tonight we present something heretofore unheard of in radio. One comedian is devoting his entire 60 minutes to a monster tribute to celebrate the 10th anniversary of another comedian. The comedian who is going to get it is Jack Benny. The man who is going to give it is Fred Allen in person.
Thank you. Thank you. As long as I accidentally bowed so low, I might as well pull up my stockings. I mean, a midget might walk in and say, there is a man who is not neat. His stockings are varicose sealed. And thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And there's no time to waste, Jimmy, tonight. This week, Jack Benny, the neurotic Superman, completes his 10th year in radio. And tonight, we are going to celebrate Jack Benny's paniversary.
You mean you're dedicating the whole 60 minutes to Jack?
Well, not in toto, Jimmy. A few of our minutes had better be dedicated to Texaco, or next week this program will be known as The Man in the Street.
Yeah, I get it.
Well, now let's get going. We've got to make this an hour tonight that Benny will remember to his dying day. Now, is everybody ready? Say, Portland.
Oh, hail to Jack Benny.
No, not yet.
Written a eulogy.
Well, later you can make with the eulogy. Say, Kenny.
Okay, F.A., I got my Jack Benny serenade all set.
Fine. And Mr. Goodman, have you written that special music for this festive occasion?
What else? To honoring Benny, the musician, I, Goodman, am composing a string symphony.
A string symphony? It sounds impressive.
This could be. 22 violins are playing not only off-key, but also not tuned.
A fitting tribute to Benny, the musician, indeed. Now, tell me, did you write an original sonata?
Confidentially, I am composing Rubinstein's Melody in F.
Well, how can you compose something Rubinstein has already composed?
I am decomposing it.
Oh, never mind. Just give us a fanfare, maestro, and let's go. Tonight, the Texaco Star Theater salutes Jack Benny. Hollywood, California. On May 9th, 1941, America's favorite killer cycle wit celebrates his 10th year in radio. 10 years ago, back in 1931, Jack Benny made his first appearance in radio. Yes, 1931 was an eventful year. In 1931, the president of these United States was...
Herbert Clark Hoover.
The vice president was...
Who knows?
In 1931, the governor of New York State...
Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
The mayor of New York City...
The Honorable James J. Walker.
In 1931, the Broadway movie theaters were showing...
Public Enemy, starring Jimmy Cagney.
Indiscreet, starring Gloria Swanson.
Svengali, starring John Barrymore, now stooging for Rudy Vallee.
In May 1931, the baseball season was underway.
The Brooklyn Dodgers are in seventh place, 1-3, lost 10. Wait till next year.
This took 10 years, however. In 1931, prohibition was in force. Bootleg liquor flooded the country. It was not unusual to hear a drinking man say...
I took a drink today. It dissolved my two front teeth right down to the pivots.
That year, vaudeville comedians were telling prohibition jokes.
Have you tried that new nip and tuck whiskey?
Yeah, one nip and they tuck you away for the night.
This team is still laying off. In 1931, the police commissioner of New York City said...
Police department is cracking down on motorists blowing their auto horns. I'll have New York quiet in 30 days.
That man is now living in Connecticut. A New York subway contractor announced that year...
Blasting the 6th Avenue subway will damage the water main. The 6th Avenue subway may never be completed.
That's what he thought. Today you can't tell the 6th Avenue subway from a hole in the ground. In 1931, the district attorney of New York said...
Slot machines have got to go. I'll stamp out every racket in New York if I have to use both feet.
This same year, the King of Siam visited New York.
Are you the King of Siam?
Yes, I am.
On May 1st, 1931, a new high mark was set in Manhattan's skyline. The Empire State Building, 102 stories high, was open to the public. Up in the observation tower of the Empire State Building, a sightseeing couple from Jersey was heard to say...
Sure high up here, ain't it, Mabel?
Yeah. Say, what's that peppermint lifesaver laying in that field?
That ain't no lifesaver, Mabel. It's a Yankee Stadium.
Well, what do you know? Say, what's that flat thing there? Looks like a pancake somebody sat on.
That's Jersey, Mabel.
Jersey, what do you know?
Yeah, ain't it wonderful?
Yes, it was wonderful. In 1931, thousands of people who lived in Jersey came all the way to New York City and paid a dollar to go up on top of the Empire State Building to look back at Jersey again. Many important events occurred that year. Several people questioned about 1931 remember other momentous happenings. A little-known man about Hamburger Stand who recalls 1931 is Sherman Mazda. What is your outstanding recollection of 1931, Sherman?
Oh, 1931 is the year the pajama string was invented.
The pajama string was invented that year, hey? And this impressed you?
Oh, the pajama string was a boon to mankind.
A boon to mankind in what way?
Before the pajama string was invented...
Yes?
A man going to bed with pajamas on had his hands full.
I don't get it, but then again, who am I? And thank you, Sherman Mazda. A housewife who will long remember 1931 is Mrs. Tilton Shanty. What impressed you back in 1931, Mrs. Shanty?
1931 is the year cellophane came out.
And cellophane impressed you, did it?
Cellophane liked to ruin me.
Well, how do you mean?
In 1931, they started putting cellophane on bread.
I see.
Nobody told nobody what it was.
Oh, and you?
I was slicing the cellophane along with the bread, putting butter on it and eating it.
You were eating cellophane?
With butter on it.
Well, how was it?
It's better with ketchup on it.
Well, tell me, how long did you continue to eat this cellophane?
For 6 months. Then I couldn't stand it no more. I felt like I had an accordion in my stomach.
An accordion in there?
Yeah. Inside, I felt creased.
Creased, huh? Well, what did you do?
Nothing. Just quit eating bread.
You did, huh? Well, after eating cellophane for 6 months back in 1931, do you feel any ill effects today?
Don't feel nothing.
No?
But when I bend over, I crinkle.
You crinkle?
And every time I sit down, it sounds like somebody's opening a bundle.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Tilton Shanty. A man who will long remember 1931 is Mr. Baedeker Stilt. What, in retrospect, Baedeker, highlights that year for you?
Two things.
Namely?
1931 is the year the zipper was invented.
And?
1931 had the coldest winter in history.
Well, what is it about the zipper and the cold that still impresses you?
Well, like I say, in 1931, the zipper was invented.
Yes?
They was putting zippers on everything. Shoes, raincoats, overnight bags.
And you succumbed to the vogue, did
you? Oh, yeah.
You did, huh?
I bought me a Bell Brigham Union suit. It had a zipper all the way down the front.
But where does the cold spell come in?
Well, sir, the morning the cold started, I get up to put on my union suit. The zipper is frozen.
The zipper is frozen.
Yeah, I bend down to breathe on it while I'm trying to pull it up.
Yeah?
There I am, breathing and tugging, tugging and breathing.
Yes?
All of a sudden, zip. Up she comes. I can't straighten up.
Why not?
My nose is caught in the zipper.
You couldn't get it out?
Oh, for 2 weeks, if you seen me on the street and wanted to know who I was, you had to open my vest. I was right on the inside.
You were inside,
yeah,
with
yeah.
business going on as usual. How did you finally get your nose out of the zipper?
Well, I kept poking my nose into the zipper and making the hole bigger.
Uh-huh.
When the hole got big enough, I crawled into the union suit and got out through the leg.
You made it the hard way, and thank you, Baedeker Still. And with Mr. Still's nostalgic escapade, we bring to a close this cavalcade of highlights taken from that outstanding year, 1931, and the first episode in our great tribute to Jack Benny. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Excuse me, Fred.
Well, yes, Jimmy?
I don't like to butt in, but where was the tribute? You didn't even mention Jack's name.
Now, look, Mr. Wallington, you stick to your announcing. I'm handling this the festivities here.
Yes, but I still don't see where the tribute comes in.
Look, Benny started 10 years ago, didn't he?
Well, yes, but...
We gave you everything of importance that happened in 1931, didn't we?
But you didn't mention Jack Benny.
You can draw your own conclusion. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Kenny Baker sings a number with our idol in mind. Kenny's song explains why he is on this program, and it's dedicated to Jack Benny. The song is appropriately called Because of You, if you get what we mean, Mr. Benny.
Because of you, that's in my heart. My romance had its start. Because of you, the sun will shine, the moon and stars will say you're mine, forever and never to part. I only live for your love and your kiss. Paradise to be near you like this. Because of you, my life is now worthwhile and I can smile because of you. There's a song in my heart. My romance had to start. Because of you, the sun will shine, the moon and stars will say you're mine, forever and never. With a kiss, it's paradise to be near you like this. Because of you, my life is now worthwhile, and I can smile.
Say, Fred, would you like to take a little intelligence test?
Yeah, an intelligence test? You mean to see if I'm as smart as Mr. Benny? Or what do you mean?
Well, I'm going to give you three familiar phrases. Now, you tell me who says them and what they mean.
All right, Jimmy.
All right, here we go. Last call, curtain going up.
Why, that's a call boy in a theater.
That's right. Now this one.
Last call, dinner now being served in the dining car.
Oh, that's easy. Your dialect gave the whole thing away. That's a Pullman waiter.
That's right. Now, here's one more.
Last call, final warning.
All right, who is that?
Gosh, Jimmy, I've got to give up. Who is it?
It's me.
You? No kidding.
Right.
You had me fooled at that.
With the last call, the final warning to put your car in condition to stand warm weather driving. The deadline is here. No driver can feel absolutely safe about his car without a complete change over to spring right now. So why delay? See your Texaco dealer. He'll quickly and expertly put your car in condition for warm weather driving. First, he'll replace the worn-out winter oil now in your crankcase with insulated Havoline or insulated Texaco motor oil, insulated especially to resist high engine temperatures. Next, he'll drain the transmission and differential, refill with the right seasonal grade of Texaco gear lubricant to make sure of smooth, quiet shifting. And then he'll stop squeaks and wear in the chassis with Marfac. M-A-R-F-A-K. Texaco's famous 40-point chassis lubrication service. So don't delay. Tune up and catch up with spring at your Texaco dealer now.
Dumbre, the music, the names you can't even pronounce, and played by, whatever it was, played by Al Goodman and his orchestra. Their records are now available at the 54th Street Police Station. And now, ladies and gentlemen, on with our Jack Benny Paniversary.
Oh, hail to Jack Benny!
Oh, no, wait, look, no, later with the hail, Portland, later.
But you haven't said anything nice about Jack yet.
Well, we'll get to that. This is a monster tribute, and we'll get to the monster shortly. if you'll just go on.
Oh, hail to Jack Benny. I'm yelling hoarsely.
Well, I don't.
May he jump 10 points on his next carrossly.
Oh, now look, please, Portland.
Hi, folks.
Oh, hello, Kenny.
What's up?
Mr. Benny's crossly. And incidentally, Portland, that's crossly. You'd better get the name straight, because Mr. Crosley, the head of the Crosley Radio Survey, is going to be on our program next week.
Is that the Mr. Crosley who lets you know if your program is going over with a bang?
Yes, that's the...
Crosley with a bang, he says.
Well, what's wrong with that, Mr. Goodman?
Crosley is with a bing. Bing Crosley.
All right. All right, all right.
Mr. Chase is with a bang.
What? What, Mr. Chase?
The Chase National Bank.
This is an all-out Benny program, all right.
All hail to Jack
Now,
Benny.
Later, please, Portland. Now, later.
Don't you want me to finish my poem?
Not now. I don't know.
I told you, Porty. This celebration is a fake. This program isn't a tribute to Mr. Benny at all.
Oh, no?
No.
You should be ashamed of yourself, Mr. Allen.
This is like at a dinner. The guest of honor is getting a Mickey Fink.
Now, just a minute. You too, Maestro. You all think I'm faking. Now, I'll show you what I'm going to do. When a man makes good, everybody slaps him on the back. But who is it, no matter whether he's up or down, who is it keeps plugging him?
His agent.
No, I'll tell you who it is. It's the folks back home, his old hometown. Now, tonight, I have spared no expense in bringing before you a distinguished citizen of Mr. Benny's hometown. Who is more qualified, more eager to heap praises on a hometown boy who had made good than the mayor of that hometown in person?
Mr. Allen, you mean...
Yes, Portland. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present the mayor of Waukegan, Illinois, His Honor, Mansell Talker. Well, good evening, Mayor Talcott.
Good evening, Fred.
Well, Mayor Talcott, it's...
You can call me Bitey, Fred.
Didey, did you say?
No, Bitey, that's my nickname.
Oh, fine. Bitey, I see. Well, Didey had me a little worried there. I thought you were appearing under wraps tonight.
Not on a night like this, Fred.
Well, now, first, I want to thank you for making the long trip down from Waukegan to be with us on this festive occasion.
Fred, on behalf of Waukegan, I would like to thank you for this opportunity to bring a message from the fairest city of the Middle West.
Fine. Tonight, all animosity is forgotten, and credit where credit is due is our slogan.
Yes, I'm eager to start talking, Fred.
Well, small wonder you're having trouble holding in. Yes, it's a proud night for Waukegan. 10 years ago, what was Waukegan? A slumbering little hamlet on the shores of Lake Michigan. And then, overnight, it happened.
It certainly did.
One morning, Waukegan awoke to find itself nationally famous.
Internationally famous.
Right, right you are. And what was it, Mayor Talcott, that happened 10 years ago that skyrocketed Waukegan to the fame it enjoys today?
The Johnson Outboard Motor Company opened its new plant.
Exactly. The Johnson Outboard Motor Company. Why, today... today you can't say putt-putt without thinking of Waukegan. Truly an industrial triumph.
Thank you, Fred.
Mayor, I can think of no better way of spending the rest of our time tonight than going deeper into this enchanting subject of outboard motors.
Well, of course, I'm really not here to talk about outboard motors.
I sense the civic subtlety of your rejoinder, Mayor.
There is, shall we say, another thing that has made Waukegan famous.
Too true, too true.
I'm sure everyone knows to what I'm referring.
Well, if everybody knows, why bring it up, Mayor?
Well, Fred, after all, that's why I'm here.
Yes, I guess we may as well face it.
Of course, no one will be surprised to hear that I am referring to Waukegan's pride and joy.
And Waukegan's pride and joy, Mayor Talcott, is...
Factory number 6 of the American Can Company. Then, of course, you know that Waukegan is the home of the Johns Manville Asbestos Company, the Cyclone Fence Company, the Abbott Laboratories, and many others.
Well, haven't you overlooked one other thing Waukegan is justly proud of?
You mean the new super silo of the Blatchford Calf Meal Company, Fred?
Exactly. Silo was uppermost in my mind at the time.
But, Mr. Talcott, isn't Waukegan famous because of a local boy who made good?
Portland, please, Portland.
That's all right, Fred. Portland asked a question that I, as mayor, have answered many times.
But, Mayor, we don't want you to tax your throat talking about a Waukegan celebrity.
I'll risk it, Fred. We in Waukegan never tire of talking about him.
And the man you mean is...
Waukegan's own Bob O'Farrell.
Bob O'Farrell! Bob O'Farrell was one of the greatest catchers the Cubs ever had. Why, I remember...
But, Mayor Talcott, hasn't Waukegan another celebrity?
Yes, Portland.
Portland, let's not grill our guest.
Well, Mayor Talcott, it's been a pleasure to talk to you about Waukegan's great, and I hope
Mr. Allen!
Our time is limited, Portland. We can't discuss every Tom, Dick, and Harry who comes from Waukegan.
But this isn't any Tom, Dick, or Harry. He's a famous movie star.
Waukegan isn't a movie center. None of our cinema stars come from Waukegan, do they, Mayor?
Not that I know of. Possibly a few extras here and there.
You see, Portland, a few extras here and there. A thing like that could happen to any town.
But, Mr. Talcott, doesn't a great radio star come from Waukegan?
Portland, you're embarrassing the mayor. So they haven't anybody in radio. That's no crime.
I know the man Portland is referring to, Fred.
You do?
Yes, Waukegan is responsible for radio's greatest sensation the past year.
You mean?
Yes, Mr. Muncie.
Mr. Muncie created a sensation in radio?
Yes. His suspenders broke on We the People.
But there's another man from Waukegan on the radio, Mayor Talcott.
Yes, but his name would mean nothing to the mayor.
If you can tell me something about this man, I might place him, Fred.
Well, now let me see. About 30 years ago, this fellow, who is now prematurely an old man... This fellow was keeping company with a girl named Gussie Loomis.
Oh, yes. Gussie still lives in Waukegan.
I'm glad to hear that, and doing well, I hope. Well, this sentimental young tailor son, as an inexpensive token of his affection, gave Gussie a lock of his hair. But as the years went by, Gussie got to know him better, and naturally they drifted apart. That was 30 years ago.
This is mighty interesting, Fred.
It is mighty interesting. I find it so myself. Well, Mayor, last fall, this jaded old roué came all the way from Hollywood, stole into Waukegan in the dead of night, broke into Gussie Loomis's trailer, and turned it topsy-turvy.
Why, Fred?
He was trying to get back that lock of hair. And not for sentimental reasons, believe me. Today, that guy is combing his hair with military sponges.
Now do you know who he is, Mr. Talcott?
Not offhand, Portland.
But this man's on the radio. Didn't you go on a radio program last year?
Yes, I did, but I'd rather not mention it.
Oh, you mean there were repercussions when you got back to Waukegan?
There were delayed repercussions, Fred.
Delayed repercussions? Well, how do you mean?
Well, this year I ran for re-election in Waukegan.
And how did you come out?
Well, Fred, shake hands with the ex-mayor of Waukegan.
The ex-mayor? Do you mean to say that you lost the election because you merely appeared on the same program with this questionable character?
That is a question you'll have to ask the voters of Waukegan, Fred.
Well, thank you, Mayor Talcott, for this enlightening interview about Waukegan. We're certainly sorry you lost the recent election, and we wish you every success in your return to private life. Your outstanding record certainly entitles you to the very best.
Thank you, Fred. Good night.
Good night, and thank you, ex-mayor. Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, Wynn Murray gives us a short breathing spell in our Benny celebration as she sings A Romantic Gal Eye.
A romantic guy I, pale and frantic guy I am, so high in the sky that each passerby must know that love is the reason why. A romantic guy I, your romantic eye my way would bring heaven nigh, so why don't you try? A romantic guy, a romantic guy I. I see the moon, that moon. I see red roses in the snow. You've kept each vow of love, and now I know. I see the moon,
romantic guy I am. So high in the sky that each passerby must know that love is the reason why. A romantic guy I. Your romantic eye my way would bring heaven nigh. So why don't you try? A romantic guy. I'm too romantic. I'm high in the sky. A romantic guy.
Now, tonight is a special feature of the Jack Benny Panniversary. We solve a mystery that has baffled the Benny program for the past few weeks. The mystery, to wit, what became of the gas man? Now, at great expense, we have engaged that famous crystal gazer, Swami Schmaltz, to the Boston pronunciation for schmaltz, to locate the gas man for us. Proceed, Swami.
I am now gazing into my crystal ball.
Yes?
All is darkness. Ah, now the darkness is taking form. I see a whirling dark spot.
Is it the eight ball?
No. The shadows are clearing.
Yes?
I see something. Ah, the gas man.
Where is he?
He's standing beside a gas pump. The gas man is a Texaco dealer.
Well, the mystery is solved. There is your gas man.
Wait a minute. What does it say on that gas pump?
I looked, Mr. Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
It says Skyjee.
Ah, then there's no mystery there either, my friend. Even though that name does have a magical attraction for everyone who drives a car. No mystery in that name. Texaco Sky Chief. Just a big promise. A promise of something out of the ordinary in gasoline performance. So the next time you're ready to fuel up, try Texaco Sky Chief. Then feel the difference. The lift of smooth, mighty power at the takeoff. The quick, surging response to the throttle in traffic and on the hill. The effortless way your car soars along the straightaways. Yes, Sky Chief is that different. Introduce yourself soon to the thrill of flying the highway with your Texaco dealer's premium gasoline for those who want the best. The Texaco Star Theater continues immediately after a short pause for your station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
WABC, New York, 880 on your dial.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, and now you ought to get a dimmer put on that blue serge suit there. And now, ladies and gentlemen. We continue our great Benny Mardi Gras. It is indeed a rare privilege to present our next guest. Radio made Jack Benny famous, but the two comedians who made radio famous are Freeman Gosden and Charles Carell, better known to radio audiences everywhere as Amos and Andy. Well, welcome to our jubilee, gentlemen.
Thank you, Fred.
That goes for me too, Fred.
You know, this is really an event, catching you two boys in public without your dialects on.
Well, to tell you the truth, Fred, Charlie and I would feel a lot better right now as Amos and Andy.
Well, you're not nervous, are you?
Well, I'm nervous, Fred, and I'm not kidding. Yes, Charlie's so nervous, I'm shaking.
Well, all right, fellas, if it'll make you feel more at home, I'll start shaking, too, to be sociable.
Thanks, Fred. That'll help a whole lot.
Well, this get-together tonight will probably confuse everybody, boys. You were on tonight at 7 o'clock for Campbell's Soup, and now you're here for Texaco. Tomorrow, people will probably be trying to buy soup at filling stations and putting Campbell's chicken gumbo in their gas tank.
Well, if they do, Fred.
Wait, we train them to laugh young here. That's a little apprentice laugher we brought in for tonight.
Well, it's your own fault. You invited us over here, Albert.
Well, yes, I did, Charlie, and now I'll tell you why. Tonight, we are celebrating Jack Benny's anniversary. It's a big night. Now, I thought if you fellas would take me up to Harlem to see Amos and Andy, I might get them to help out with the festivities. Well, how about it?
Why, sure, we'll take you up to the lodge all right now. Yes, and you're lucky, too, Fred, because Amos, Andy, and the Kingfish are up there now talking.
Fine. Well, of course, the quickest way to get up to Harlem is not to call a cab, but to take your theme song. And we'll be up to the lodge hall in no time.
Come in.
I wonder who this is.
Yeah, well, maybe it's the good humor man back again. Now, come in.
Yes, sir.
What is it, son?
Well, boys, Carell and Gosden sent me up to see you fellows. My name is Fred Allen.
Oh, yes, sir. Glad to know you, Miss Allen. My name is Emma.
I is Andy.
And I is the Kingfish.
Well, I hope I'm... I hope I'm not intruding, boy.
Oh, no, sir.
No, no, you ain't protruding, no, sir. What can we do for you, Miss Allen?
Yes, sir, please see
you. Well, I'll tell you why I'm here.
Yes, sir, Miss Allen.
Tonight, I am sponsoring a big celebration, and I need your support.
You has got it.
It's the 10th anniversary.
We is behind you tooth and nail.
Of a great radio personality.
We with you, Miss Allen.
He's the star of the Jell-O program.
Yeah, good. It's time we was doing something for Rochester.
Rochester?
Yeah, sir. He is the star of the Jell-O program.
Yes, sir. The Jell-O program is a one-man show, and that one man is Rochester.
You don't.
Rochester, Harlem is behind you. Rochester is a character and a member of our Lord. He deserves that recognition.
Well, just a minute, fellows. After all, the star of the Jell-O program.
Wait a minute. You don't have to tell us nothing about Rochester.
Little old Rochester seemed like only yesterday that he was sweeping out the Lord. Today, he is sweeping the country.
Yeah. Temper sure do fishes, don't it?
But... boys, this tribute I'm talking about...
Miss Allen is right, Andy. We ought to pay a tribute.
Oh, nothing is too good for Rochester. What can we do for him?
Boys, wait a minute. I got it. The idea done hit me. As the head of the Mystic Knights of the Sea, I move second and carries the motion that we erect a monument to Rochester.
Yeah, a monument to Rochester on a horse.
Yeah, with the horse rearing, with his front feet up in the air, pawing and all that stuff.
Yeah. How is that, Miss Allen?
Why, that's a good idea, Andy. Rochester, the Lone Ranger of Lenox Avenue.
I can see it now. Rochester on a horse with a sign on it, a prescription reading...
E pluribus jello.
Yeah, but wait a minute, Ant. Mr. Allen, what would a statue like this on a horse cost?
Oh, let me see. I'd say about $200 for Rochester and $200 for the horse.
Oh, sounds great.
Yeah, sounds great to me, too. Even better than that.
Now, hold on a minute, though, fella. Look here. You know the lodge ain't got that kind of money.
Well, if that's the case, boys, perhaps we'd better retrench.
I agree with Mr. Allen. We ought to have a bigger statue. Oh, wait a minute, Casey. He means to cut it down.
Yeah, cut it down. That sounds great. How about Rochester on a pony?
Yeah, well... that's the idea right there. You got something there. A little sweatland pony. Just wait a minute, fellas. We can't afford a pony.
Well, if you can't afford it, boys, say, how would this be? You can take Rochester down off the horse and just have him standing there, a pedestrian. Now, instead of the $400, why, the statue will only cost you half of that.
Yeah, but that's $200, and we ain't got $200. It's got to be cheaper.
Cheaper, eh? Well, how about making the statue smaller? You can have a statue of Rochester as a boy.
As a boy, yes, yeah, sir. That's great, Miss Allen. Yeah, well, what'll that cost?
Well, Rochester is a little boy with no hat on and barefooted. It'll cost around
$100. $100? Oh, no.
Well, we could get a bust for $50.
Yeah, a bust. Now, that sounds great.
A bust, that's right. That is our tribute to Rochester.
Yeah, but, Andy, wait a minute. Where is we going to get $50? Yeah, well, now, hold on, gentlemen. Money is no object. Harlem is behind Brother Rochester to a man. We gotta do something.
Yes, sir. We gotta do something.
Well, look, boys. After all, at a time like this, it isn't a question of money. It's the sentiment that counts.
Now, why don't you forget about the statue and just send Rochester a present, a little token of your esteem? So how about a floral horseshoe?
Horseshoe? Sounds great.
Yeah, that's right. Now you get it somewhere. A floral horseshoe. Yeah, with a ribbon on it. A ribbon reading good luck to Rochester. We'll make the flowers them chrysanthemum things.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Well, what you going to use for money to buy the flowers?
How about sending Rochester a telegram?
A great idea. Well, you got a good idea there. A night letter from the Mystic Knights of the Sea.
Yeah, but he's in California. A telegram costs money.
Yes, you can't. Amos is right. You can't send congratulations collect.
Wait a minute. Now, here's what we'll do. Forget the telegram. Let's write Rochester a nice letter.
Okay, that's good. Write him the letter,
all right, you? I'll write him a nice letter. First, I'll get a stamp. Now, let me see. A stamp, or that's 3 cents, ain't it? 3 cents, 3 cents. You know I done left my wallet home here. What's the matter with me? Amos, you got any change?
No, I ain't.
Is you holding, Andy?
No, I is empty, too.
Well, fellas.
Mr. Allen, you know how the Lodge feels about Rochester. We love the boy. And ain't nothing we wouldn't do for him.
But what about the largest tribute, Kingfish?
Here's what we'll do.
Yes?
The next time you see Rochester...
Yes?
Give him our regard, will you? That's what I'm saying.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Freeman and Charlie. That was a treat.
It's been fun visiting, Fred.
Yes, Fred, and you ought to drop in and see us before we go back to California.
Yes, but you don't have guests on your program.
Well, you come over tomorrow night, and we'll break a rule.
All right, I'll see you on your program tomorrow night. Thanks a lot for your kindness and your great help tonight, Amos and Andy. Thank you. Now, continuing in our Jack Benny mood, Kenny sings a song dedicated to a bird Mr. Benny received during his opening performance at the Novelty Theater in Topeka, Kansas. The bird number is called On Wings of Song.
On wings of song I will take thee. In dreams, my love, we will go.
Another tribute to Jack Benny.
Dud just don't belong in fast-acting company.
You won't meet them among the men of action who drive fire engines or, for that matter, patrol cars, ambulances, and other emergency duty vehicles. They want action, and they want it from gasoline, too. They don't want duds around in the form of sluggish, low-action elements that rob engines of vital power in the line of duty. So because the duds are out of Texaco Fire Chief, it's famous as the emergency duty gasoline. Every drop is packed with quick-acting power for fast starts, steady, sustained power for long, hard runs. That's what you get for your everyday driving in Fire Chief at regular gasoline prices. Next time, try a Texaco dealer and Fire Chief.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we continue our salute to Jack Benny.
Oh, hail to Jack Benny!
No, not yet, Cortland.
But the program's almost over, and you haven't even mentioned Jack.
Haven't mentioned? Why, the whole program. You heard Mr. Talcott, the mayor of Waukegan.
The mayor is plugging only Waukegan.
Well, what about Amos and Andy?
Amos and Andy went to town for Rochester.
All right. You think I'm sabotaging, Benny? You people just can't wait. Why, the whole Texaco workshop sketch coming up now is about Mr. Benny. This cavalcade is called The Highlights of a Lowlife, or Benny Marches On. Our story opens in a tiny log cabin in a small town in Illinois. A young husband eagerly awaits the arrival of his first child. The husband and doctor stand together at the window. Anxiously, they scan the sky. The husband speaks.
Any sign of the stork yet, Doc?
Nope, I don't see nothing.
What's that bird coming this way?
Whoopee, it's the stork!
And for a stork, he's flying mighty low, Doc.
Yeah, and his beak's bent double like a hairpin.
Must be a heavy bundle he's carrying, Doc.
Stand back! The stork's let go! It's coming down the chimney!
Well, jumping, Jehoshaphat.
Boy, that's some fat baby. Congratulations, Mr. Wilson. It's a boy.
Oh, just look at the little feller. Speak to your paw, son. Say something.
The first highlight in Jack Benny's career. Don Wilson was born. And now, our scene changes to a scrubby and fallow plantation deep down in the Old South. Old Colonel Oglethorpe Harrison has sent a slave to fetch his raw-boned son, Philpot, out of the cotton patch. Philpot Harrison enters the room.
Did you all send for me to be Fox, Pappy?
Sure enough did, Philpot. The time has come for you all to inherit the traditions of the old Sioux.
What traditions, Pappy?
You're going to become a planter like your Pappy, Philpot.
I'm going to be a musician, Pappy.
You all will starve, son. You won't have a pot to your name, Philpot.
Well, then I'll just be Phil, Pappy.
Son, if you all ain't a planter, you all ain't the son of a Harrison.
Well, you can take the son off of Harrison, too. I've still got Harris left.
Son, you was christened Philpot Harrison.
My new name's Phil Harris, Pappy.
But for 10 generations, us Harrisons has planted corn. Corn is in our blood, son.
Then I'll put corn in my music. I'll be Phil Harris, king of corn.
Was the second highlight in Jack Benny's career. Philpot Harrison did become a musician, and today this raw-boned son of a southern planter is known to millions as Phil Harris, the king of corn. His band tours the country as the crow flies. And our locale shifts again. The scene now is the basement in the May Company department store in Los Angeles, California. It is 5:30, closing time. Over in a dark corner, a beautiful young sales girl is checking over her slips at the toupee counter. The floor walker speaks.
Call out your sales, Miss Livingston. I'll check these receipts.
Yes, Mr. Morrow. 15 black toupees.
Right.
10 blonde toupees, complete with sideburns.
Right.
8 brunette toupees with spit curls.
Right.
1 pompadour toupee.
Just a minute, Miss Livingston. That pompadour toupee is missing.
Why, that heel, I'll bet he took it.
Who?
There was a man in here this afternoon trying on a pompadour toupee.
Yeah, what did he look like?
He had a flabby front, veal cutlet feet, no hair, and his face was sort of fish belly white.
Jack Benny.
Who's Jack Benny?
The most notorious toupee thief in California. Why, Mr. Benny's been top-lifting for years.
Gee.
You'll have to recover that toupee.
But how, Mr. Morrow?
That is your problem, Miss Livingston. You're fired.
Fired?
Don't darken the May Company's doors until you get Benny to pay for that toupee.
And that is why Mary Livingston is with Jack Benny today. She is still trying to collect for that toupee. Benny filched from the May Company 10 years ago. In 1935, an apple-cheeked lad applied for a singing job on the then-flourishing Jell-O program. We find him in the agent's office finishing his audition.
Amapola, Amapola, how I love to hear you say, I love you.
His song ended. The boy spoke.
Well, Mr. Lyons, did you like my voice?
That's okay, Keith. What's your name?
Kenny Baker.
Kenny Baker.
Do I get the job with Mr. Benny?
First, let me ask you a couple questions. Can you shine shoes?
Sure. Why?
Can you do laundry?
Yes, but...
How are you on mowing lawns?
What am I auditioning for, Mr. Lyons? A singer's job or a handyman's?
Both, son. Mr. Benny figures you'll only be singing one day. The rest of the week, he'll be doing odd jobs around for Mr. Benny.
Well, that's all right, I guess.
Fine. Oh, and by the way, when you bait Mr. Benny's mousetraps at night, be sure and leave a big hunk of cheese in the bedroom trap. Sometimes Mr. Benny wakes up in the night and likes a little snack.
Yes, sir. When do I start to work, Mr. Lyon?
Just a minute, Keith. There's one more thing.
I can cook, sir.
No, it ain't that. We ain't discussed your salary.
What salary?
Your money.
What's money?
You're just the boy for Mr. Benny, son. You're hired.
And so this innocent lad who didn't know what money was joined the Benny Menage. On Sunday nights he sang, but during the other 6 days he toiled about the Benny household. 2 years later, Kenny Baker won a Screeno game at a little theater in Glendale, California. They gave him a handful of green stuff, which later he learned was money. The following day, Kenny said to Mr. Benny's agent,
I know what it is, Mr. Lyons.
You know what is, Kenny?
I know what money is.
I knew this day would come, Baker. You're fired.
Kenny Baker, freed from bondage, rose to fame and fortune. Mr. Benny replaced him with another bumpkin named Dennis Day, who still works for Mr. Benny, and who to this day is being paid off in Wilkie Button. These talented folks whose stories you have just heard are responsible for Jack Benny's success in radio today. But what about Mr. Benny's movie career? For you discriminating moviegoers, you entertainment lovers who never wait for the companion feature at the double feature theaters, we bring you a few histrionic highlights picked at random from Mr. Benny's epic productions. 6 years ago, Mr. Benny startled Hollywood when he starred in The Man Without. His big scene in The Man Without was...
Hey, there's somebody at the door, Butch. Butch, there's somebody at the door.
Don't open it.
The man knocking at that door who never got into the picture was Jack Benny. In The Man Without, he was truly the man without. The following season, our favorite touched a new high in dramatic delineation when he starred in the Western feature, Hop Along, Benny Hops Along. The scene that started the audience huzzahing was...
Sheriff, there's a runaway horse coming down the trail. Jeepers, Sheriff, the saddle was empty.
I wonder who was formerly a-settin' in that saddle.
The man who was formerly a-settin' in that saddle was Jack Benny. And finally, Mr. Benny's most brilliant characterization in the celluloid epic, that muck-and-fuss woman. The scene that got an encore and had to be repeated 3 times in the picture was...
Basil, this thing we've done is murder.
No matter, Lady Muck-and-fuss. We are alone. No one will ever know.
The telephone, Bethel. The telephone, it's ringing, Bethel.
Don't answer that phone.
The party whose call was never answered, whose voice was never heard in the picture of that muck and fuss woman, was Jack Benny. There were other cinema triumphs. You may recall the petrified forest in which Mr. Benny appeared as the petrified sap. You may remember Mr. Benny's Technicolor appearance in Yellow Jack. You may...
Just a minute, Mr. Allen.
Quiet, please. Folks, I have to finish this sketch.
What sketch? You are giving Jack Benny the works.
Mr. Goodman is right. I thought this hour was going to be a tribute.
Oh, hell to Jack
Portland,
Benny.
Now, just a minute. All of you, you think I've been ignoring our idol on purpose. You don't understand. I've been saving Mr. Benny's mellow golden voice for the big climax.
Oh.
Also,
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we present the crescendo of this dragged-out tribute. You will hear the golden voice of our hero himself in his greatest comedy scene of all time. On the Jell-O program of March 3rd, 1939, Rochester said,
Mr. Benny, when are you trading in your Maxwell?
At this point, Mr. Benny convulsed the nation when he replied,
Attention! We interrupt the Fred Allen program to bring you a special news bulletin. Wrangletop, New Mexico. Tonight at 9 o'clock, 23 coldies were seen giggling on the middle scene near Fiddlecom. Nobody was settled on, but 14 Sippadoos are rumored to be lost off. For further bibble jib, see your local doppelgang. We return you now to the Fred Allen program.
Yes, folks. That was positively Jack Benny's greatest comedy high spot of all time. And now, as we conclude our tribute to this grand old man of radio on this, his 10th anniversary, let us bow in reverence to...
Oh, hail to Jack
Again
Benny!
Again with the hail. All right, Portland, I give up. Go ahead.
Oh, hail to Jack Benny!
Music,
Lord, may he reign, King of Comedians!
Now, just a word from Larry Elliott.
The United States government is asking the people of America to buy defense savings bonds and stamps. This money will be used to finance the national defense program. Tonight, we are calling to your attention this message. Buy a share in America. Buy that share by purchasing defense stamps and bonds tomorrow at your post office or bank.
Thank you, Larry, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us tonight. Thanks to War Keegan for lending us Spidey Talcott, and to the Campbell Soup Company for its kindness in letting Amos and Andy drop in tonight. Next week, we'll have Mr. Crosley, the man who originated the radio survey. Tune in and hear how the popularity of your favorite radio show is determined. This is Fred Allen saying good night for the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast, and inviting you to drive in anytime. Remember, you're welcome.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.